Brendan Machard, how you doing, brother?
I'm awesome, man. Thanks for having me on.
No, this is great, dude. You know, when I thought of doing these interviews about confidence, how the hell could I not have Brendan
Thanks, man. Well, hopefully
Bouchard?
I'll be confident enough to deliver something good today.
Oh, dude, there's no doubt in my mind. And you know, I mean, when I look back at my career, my life, we all have, everybody listening too, we all have our crap. We all have our story. We all had that hurdle we had to get over, and everybody's gotten over a hurdle, even if you're in a tough spot right now. But when I look back at the foundation of everything for my life, for me, it all was if my confidence was there, I was able to handle it, get through. It didn't mean it was a win, but I was able to get through and have a lesson and come out better. And if the confidence wasn't there, I could be stuck for months. And I've seen people stuck for years and a lifetime because they lost that confidence.
Yeah.
So I want to do these just to get a different opinion on what confidence means to you. What's confidence mean for the people that you train? You touch the lives of millions of people, dude. You've done so many incredible things. And I'd just love to know what confidence has been in your life. How has it helped you? And how have you watched it change, you know, the people that you've touched? And lastly, I know confidence could be, some people think, you know, say, does courage, do you need courage to get confident? Or do you need the confidence to even be courageous? So I have a lot of questions for you. I won't try to ask too many at once, but what is, on a 30,000 foot level, what does confidence mean to you, Brendan?
Oh man, I love that. Well, I've spent a lot of time, as you know, actually researching this topic, almost like the academic wonk version of it. You know, like how do professional psychologists talk about this? You know, I mean, how do we know, how can we measure it in terms of like adult development? And that was my passion about it, was figuring out that level first, the academic side, and then applying it to my life a little bit. But I mean, academically, you know, you really, confidence, it's a belief and it's a feeling. That's all it is. It literally is a belief and a feeling. The belief is that no matter what is here in front of me, that I can address it and things will turn out well. That's the critical thing to confidence, is the belief that this will turn out well. You know, if you think it's going to turn out disastrous, you have no confidence, you know? But if you can fool yourself into believing approaching that beautiful woman will turn out well, you'll have confidence. If you think it's going to turn out horrible, you'll have no confidence. So it begins with this belief that you can handle it and things will turn out well. And then you add feeling to it. And the feeling is that you are willing to do this, you are worthy to do this, and that you are capable to do this. And I want to unpack that one because I think, dude, that's where all the magic is that feeling. Like, if first and foremost, you're never going to have any confidence unless you're willingly going to do something. You know, you ever seen it? You ever try to teach a kid to swim? You know,
If they don't want to
like,
swim, it's nightmare.
it's like if they don't want to do it, if they are unwilling to do it, there is no confidence. If they want to do it, like there's a desire there, which is where sort of the origin of the feeling of confidence comes from, desire. Like, I want to do this. Otherwise, you just won't. And so it's like that kid, but if that kid wants to swim, he's jumping off the pool. I mean, he's diving in. The confidence is there. You're like, where did this kid get the, holy crap. It's like the kid's strutting around the pool and never done it before. But it's because the willingness was there. The second part of that is worthiness. And this is something that is really difficult to work with people in personal development. And frankly, this was my big breakthrough in confidence as well. I didn't feel worthy to do a lot of things, so I didn't have confidence. I thought, well, who am I to shoot a video and share my message? Who am I to, you know, I've never written a book before. I don't know how to do that. Who am I to do this? And if your worthiness level is down because, you know, you've been kicked like a dog all your life, it's hard to feel confident. I don't care if you could learn all sorts of skill sets, people could, you know, be amazing to you, you could get every capability, you know, in your tool belt. But if you feel like a piece of crap and not worthy because everyone told you that for a long time and you unfortunately believed it, confidence isn't going to generate for you. And then the last piece, though, is you feel capable. You know, if you can feel capable doing something, meaning you've developed that skill set, you have full competency, you have full experience at that, then that's everything. And what real confidence is to me, it's like this magic mix of all those things. Like, I can look at a situation, and that situation, I say, you know what? This is going to turn out well. I want to be here. I'm worthy of this chance, and I can handle it. And that's all it really means. Now, in my life, it like came alive because I realize exactly what you said at the opening of this interview, which, dude, I'm so in awe of how you sort of just tighten that up, which is, hey, you know, when people don't have it, their lives are ruined. And it kind of is that secret ingredient to people succeeding. Because if you don't have, I really think it's two twin powers. You've got to have motivation and you got to have confidence. And if those two aren't firing well, it's kind of like having a missing piston in the engine. There's no chance. And so to me, what it meant was when I had my car accident when I was 19, my confidence had been destroyed. I came out of a relationship, as you know, with this woman. She was the first woman I ever loved. It was the high school sweetheart stuff. We went to college together. We were just, you know, inseparable. And she was my first love. We thought we were going to get married, so we went to school together. And then after that first year, middle of that first year of college, she cheated on me. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when a relationship falls apart, you fall apart, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, man, I fell apart. By the end of that year, I was suicidal. I had completely lost my ability to get out of bed, shower, you know, which, by the way, was not that odd where I went to college. You know, no one showered in Missoula, Montana. But, you know, I was in a tough place. And then I had my car accident. And it, you know, it rattled me, and it made me realize just the simplest of things, that life matters. It made me realize how precious it was. It made me realize that we're all going to evaluate our life in some way at the end. And the questions we'll ask at the end are basically, did I really live this life? You know, did I live? And we're going to really wonder, did I love? And we're going to wonder, did I matter? Did I make a difference? So when I went back to college, inspired to change my life by these three questions, I realized I needed to get motivated. Those questions were my motivation, but I needed confidence because I was still feeling unworthy because someone cheated on me. And so that's when I actually started studying it and saying, okay, I get what this is academically. This is all great. Okay, things will turn out well. I got to be willing, worthy, and capable. But now I got to put this thing in motion, you know?
And I'm gonna before you get into that, because I want to, because, dude, I love the way you think, dude. I love the way you... For those of you that don't know Brendan, I know most of you probably will. I mean, your book is rocking right now. It's all over the world. I can't stop seeing it everywhere. You're doing, and I'm so proud of you for helping so many lives that you've touched. But before you get into the way you think, and I know the research and through the psychology of confidence, you said something right in the beginning of what you were sharing that I think, especially somebody maybe just trying to find themselves right now, somebody just searching for some help, that confidence is just simply your thoughts, right? What you think and what you believe. Somebody watching just said, bullshit. you don't know what I'm going through, Brendan, or my experiences or my past. And I understand that thinking. And I think you do too, because we were both there at one point in our lives. It doesn't matter what time we were there, where we broke through it. And going through desire, but scared, not worthy, are you capable? You both of us have seen people that desire to be self-employed, but still don't have the confidence to start their own business.
That's right.
Right? They want more, but they don't feel worthy, right? And capable. There's some people that might play the piano their whole life and they're amazing in their living room, but you put them on stage and they'd fall to a pile of butter on the floor and not play one note, right? Mm. So before you get into the psychology of it, I'd love to know, how do you, because you do so amazing, dude, I love watching you on stage when you take somebody who's, you know, brand new and they start your event going, man, what, this guy jumping around all excited, I'm not getting this. And then 2 hours later, they're standing on their chair screaming their brains out with excitement.
Yeah.
Since their shoulders are back, their eyes are open, and they're freaking alive. So that new person listening right now, or even someone who's experienced in personal development, we still get those knocked down external factors affecting who we are.
That's right.
So maybe you could go a little deeper on, it's our thoughts, it's our beliefs that you know, give us the confidence or strip it away.
Yeah, that's it. Because the external world is never going to give you confidence. You know, we want it to be that way. You know, we would love to all walk into the Victoria's Secret supermodel show and all the girls stop and turn and go, ooh, it's, you know, we would all love, every person would love to walk down the airport and, you know, every woman would love to walk down the airport and just have total command of that and have every guy be like, oh my gosh, what a graceful beauty. You know, we all want to be accepted by the entire world, but the entire world is never going to give it. And that's not what it's set up to be. I mean, if we didn't have the struggles that we have, the challenges and the pushes, we would never develop a character. You know, our character is coming from those times when, you know what, we didn't believe, but we did it anyway, and we fought our way through. And in that struggle, we developed strength. And so, yeah, it really is never going to give even to the outside world. No one hands you a certificate and say, congratulations, you have achieved confidence. You know?
Yes.
It's like a lifelong struggle. And there's lots of different situations you're confident in, and other ones you're not. And so all that frames it, the only thing that frames it, is your mindset going in, which is why I love your course. And, you know, what you're doing here for people is so important. To be able to develop the mindset, the winning state of mind, to be able to have the confidence, it's everything. And it really is just, at the end of the day, you could, you know, I geek out about all the academic or the psychology parts about it, but at the end of the day, the confidence is a belief and a feeling. And that belief must be formed by your thoughts and what you're telling yourself about yourself, mm-hmm. about the situation, and about the likelihood that you will succeed in there.
Yep.
If you're always saying, I don't have a chance, I'm terrible, I suck, people hate me, well, that becomes the story of your identity. And you're done. But every person I've ever met, when I like to ask people who are extremely confident, I go, you know, can you remember a time when you decided to get confident? And they all know when. They're like, yeah, you know what? I did. They have to think about it a little bit. But every time, Dean, they find it. They're like, you know what? Yeah, this girl, she dumped me. And I said, you know what? No more. Or my husband divorced me. And I said, no more. I'm going to start caring for myself and believing in myself. And the confidence came from that moment,
yep.
or those series of moments in life that made them say, you know what? I matter. I care about myself. I want, in some way, we all psychologically, even if it's unconsciously, if we become confident, it's because at some point in our life we said, I want to become a confident person. Just as much as if you become a swimmer, you say, I want to be a swimmer. If you say, I want to be a writer, at some point you said, I want to be a writer. So you started enacting behaviors to become that identity.
Yep.
Well, the same thing here is I said, I'm going to be a confident person. Now, I wasn't. You know, I know it, everyone always tells, you know, Brennan's this big extrovert and everything else like that because they see the public side of me. And even in the private side now, I'm very, very energized. And put me in a group of people, I'll light that room up. So I tweak out, if you see me, super extrovert. But did you know, on every psychological test I take, and I just took one 3 months ago, by the way, I'm always right down the line of introvert and extrovert. And people don't believe it. I'm like, how do you think, an extrovert is really coding all the web pages like I code? Do you think an extrovert is writing 7 books by the time they're, you know, 37? It's like, no, you have to be able to sit with yourself. But I had the identity of a writer. I assumed the identity of a teacher and a trainer even before I knew shit about life. I just said, I want to inspire people. So I started stepping into the role to become that. And if someone is listening to this and you're lacking confidence, it's about, okay, let's decide today, step one, to have it. Like, make it a goal. Say, you know what, I want that. Because once you want something, you'll start working into it. And most people just hope it's delivered to their doorstep. But, you know, I always say never have a dream or have a dream for an opportunity. You know, don't go knocking on the door of opportunity and then be surprised when work answers.
Right. You know? Yeah. Exactly.
You gotta work your way into confidence. There has to be real daily struggles, efforts, actions that you take that push yourself just a little beyond your comfort zone, and then you get a little hit of confidence. Push yourself a little beyond the comfort zone, a little hit of confidence, a little bit more confidence. And the more you push beyond that comfort zone, the more your identity says, hey man, I can handle this, and this will turn out just fine. And as soon as you get that belief, things will turn out just fine.
And they do, no matter what. You know, today, I want to tell you a story. So today, my daughter plays softball. It's the first year she played. And she's a natural born athlete. She's just great. And it's not because she's my daughter. I know where she's not great, but she's a natural born athlete. So she plays her first year of softball and she gets the MVP at the end of the year today. They just gave out trophies at the end of the year. She was unbelievable. I every game, and I coached, which was amazing, but every game I was in awe. Like, she gets up and swings like a 18-year-old kid on a high school team. I mean, she hits this ball like a machine.
That's awesome.
And so she's got a really good arm, but her weakest part of baseball, she's not a great catcher yet. She can't catch great, but throws a rifle, hits the ball hard. So they play her on third base because she's the only girl that can throw all the way to first. Mm. So today she comes in the dugout and she's talking to me. She's like, "Dad," and she's been talking about it for weeks. "I can't catch." So she always wants to, and which I love about her, she wants to move towards the area she's weak and master it. So she's like, "I want to play first next year. I want to." So, but what her terminology was today is, "Dad, I don't want to play third. They always put me on third. Dad, I don't want to play third." So she tells me out four times, and finally I brought her over. I said, "Bree, come here a second. Her name's Brianna." I said, "Bree, I know you know that, Brendan, but fair to tell everybody else."
Yeah.
So I said, "Bree," I said, "can I just give you a little hint? If you keep saying," because she, you know, unfortunately she's my daughter, so she gets a lesson all the time, right? So I said, "You keep saying you don't want to play third, don't want to play third. I've heard that 10 times today. What do you think's going to happen if you keep saying you don't want to play third? What position do you think you're going to play next year?" And she looked at me, and it was such a proud moment. I'm not making an inch of this story up. She looked at me, she said, "If I don't stop saying that, I'm going to play third next year, aren't I?"
She's saying what she doesn't want, right?
Which, yeah, she doesn't want. And I've been teaching her that. She's only eight, but I teach her it nonstop. And I said, "Bree, if you want to play first, what do you think you got to start saying?" And she said, "I'd like to play first," or "I want to." I'm like, "That's close, but what do you think's better?" And she said, "I'm playing first next year." I said, "If you say that," I said, "and if you want to play first," now here's the thing. There's one thing is say it, but then there's actions. I said, "If you want to play first next year, what do you think we have to do all summer?"
Mm.
She said, "You have to throw me a lot of balls." I said, "I can't wait." So, but how easy is that with an eight-year-old, right? But what happens is life kicks our ass and teaches us, you know, what not to do and how to think what we don't want, that we get programmed that for an eight-year-old, it took me, you know, 90 seconds to get that in her head and she got it.
Right.
But so many people listen right now, go, "Dude, you know, Dean, Brendan, you guys are doing amazing, but you don't know what I'm going through. I'm facing this. I don't want this." But that is what's stripping their confidence. Because the next question I wanted to ask is, what are some of the habits people have that are robbing their confidence daily and they don't even know it?
Oh, dude, one great story. And just for the audience, you know, who don't know you exceptionally well, you know, I've seen you with your kids. And, dude, it's amazing. I mean, talk about a guy whose eyes light up when his kids walk around and his kids' eyes light up when he walks around. I mean, I just want to honor you and respect you for that because,
yes. Oh,
it's so awesome. I mean, those kids are like little angels because, I mean, you and your wife are beautiful, but I mean, they literally are, just, they have such a generous spirit, which I'm going to talk about in a little bit. But, you know, to your question, I think what happens, the reason that people get into it in this place where they're lacking confidence over the long term. And by the way, let's just tell people real quick, how do you know if you have, if you don't have confidence? Like, because everyone has a gauge, and a lot of people actually think they're confident, but they're not.
They're not, no.
They don't, there's a difference between situational confidence.
Oh God, great.
And psychological confidence.
That is so good.
Yeah, very big difference. Like, I know lots of people, they're amazing in one avenue and put them in the other, and they're a complete hot mess because their identity really isn't secure. Their maturity never hit, you know, stride. They haven't had those moments of enlightenment or mortality or transcendence or connection or spirituality that develop their true character. So in one area, they play a character of confidence, but the rest of their life, they feel insecure, unworthy. They're a hot mess in another area. So there's a difference. And here's how you can tell. This is like the true psychological test. We do this at High Performance Academy. It's very simple. It's, you know, there's three hallmarks of whether or not you really have enduring psychological confidence. Just three. We call them the three A's.
Writing this down, dude. You're teaching me right now. So.
All right. The first one, and this all these three A's apply to changing or challenging circumstances.
Okay.
That's what enduring confidence is. Is the first one is you have authenticity in changing or challenging circumstances. What that means is you can actually be you, and it really is you, like you feel connected to yourself when the crap hits the fan, when things are weird, when things are uncomfortable. You can still have a full security in the sense of self. Like your identity is formed enough that you're like, you know what? This is me. This is who I am. And it's real. It's authentic. You're not feeling like in every social situation, you need to act like everybody else, right, dress so like everybody else.
Saying you could be an amplified version or a maybe stressed version, but it's you authentically to the core.
Yeah, because what's the opposite of self-confidence? It's someone who's fake.
Yep.
And so if you find yourself in lots of situations where you feel like you're faking it to make it, you don't have enduring self-confidence. Yeah. You haven't done that work yet. The second aspect to it, in changing or challenging circumstances, you can take action. Enduring self-confidence, a person who has it, they can act, they can behave, they can do what they intend to do, they can, you know, move. But what's the opposite? Well, when things hit the fan or when things are going on or they're uncomfortable, they can't move. They can't go talk to the person. They can't make the call. They freeze. And by the way, none of these things are bad. I'm just pointing out there's a scale here. And then the third piece is the measure is in changing or challenging circumstances, you can adapt. Not become fake, but you can change. You can learn. You can grow. You can expand. You're not set in a certain way. You know, because at the opposite, in my mind, of a loose, casual, authentic, action-based, you know, confidence is a person who is so rigid or so certain in their ways, so structured in who they are, that they can't handle variability. So in that way, they can't learn. And so these are the things that really tell us, are you really confident? And a lot of people who might be listening to this, I know it's so easy, and you spoke this earlier, Dean, it's really easy to judge us and say, oh, it's so easy for you, Dean, it's so easy for you, Brendan. Well, both Dean and I were, you know, when we were kids, we got the crap kicked out of us. We both grew up poor. We had no silver spoon. We had no good luck. We had no lucky charms or lots of people who suddenly just threw money at us. Like, we both came from nothing. But even if you don't care about Dean and I's story, if there's any part of you that is saying, well, they don't understand me, then you actually lack confidence and you're in a dangerous place. And this is where, man, Dean, I'll tell you, I tried some tough territory for people and they don't like when I say it, but it's helped a lot of people to hear me say this. The only persons who say, they don't understand me, you can't understand what I'm going through. In those moments in which you're saying that, your ego took over. You feel that you're so special? No one else out of thousands of years of human history, out of 7 billion people alive right now, no one else is going through it. No one can understand you. The ego is playing on us. The ego is saying, hey, man, they can't understand you. Don't you ask them for help. Don't you be vulnerable. Don't you be open right now. You could get hurt. Right. You know what? You're special. They don't understand you. And the worst thing happens. The ego takes over such a self-destructive way in that way, dude. Here's what happens. The person who says, they don't understand me, is also the least likely to raise their hand and say, I need some help. Because if they don't believe that others can help them or understand them, they won't ask for help. And ultimately, that is the worst of human experiences where we truly believe that. Our ego says, no one can understand me. And what happens to that person? Almost always, if that's true for them, that's where suicide comes from. Mm-hmm. The suicidal person believes, no one can understand me. No one can help me. I'm screwed. That's the ego taking over all of life to the point where now you consider taking your life. And I don't speak, you know, just psychologically about this as the researcher, as the high performance guy. I was there. I was there. I lived there for, you know, a year of my life wanting to take my life, planning, thinking what I would write to my family. So I hope I don't sound flippant in any of this because I'm passionate, but I've worked with enough people one-on-one with some of the highest performers in the world to know that when you get yourself in that place, they don't understand me.
You know what, Brendan?
You're in trouble.
I appreciate you sharing that so much because what I don't see, you know, and I love, you know, dude, I'm the same way. I'm listening to you. I want to be the student. I love listening to you. And that's what we continue to grow that way. But what happens with that, and suicide would be obviously the worst thing that could happen, but something that I don't think is that far from suicide is some people get to that point and they don't kill themselves. But they find a rhythm and they stay there for the rest of their lives. you know, they find that pain where for you, there's some people listening right now. And listen, I don't want to just talk to the person who's in pain and hurting. If there's somebody listening right now, not somebody, I know there's lots of people going to listen to this, that smile on the outside and everything looks pretty damn good in their life. They got decent car, decent family, everybody, their neighbors think, God, that couple's got it made, or that guy or that woman's got it made. But your heart, your soul is sad. And I want to address you right now, those people listening, and know this is for all of us. This is, we all go through those phases in our life.
Yeah, this is true. I mean, it's the things I'm describing, it's for everybody. We've all been there in some way or another. And even, I mean, even like I said, the highest performers in the world, we're always, confidence is nothing. You don't get the certificate. You're always building it. It's always developing. And you asked about like what habits develop it. Like, let me give you like, it's like very tangible, four areas that you need habits in, that you need great beliefs in, that you need to put a daily practice in order to get more confidence. Because this is like tangibility. This is like, these are the four kind of areas that I know without a question, if you'll start applying yourself, you'll get more confidence. Even if you're already the Fortune 50 CEO, you're already the multi-million dollar entrepreneur, you've already, even if you're already hit your stride, every one of us will find our next level of, I would argue, not only psychological or professional development, but spiritual development in these areas. And, you know, I'm not out here preaching to the choir. I think I struggle with these things. I know you do too. Number one, the next level of confidence for everybody listening to this is going to come from self-trust. You have to have a tremendous amount of self-trust to venture into the unknown, to deal with uncertainty. You have to give yourself credit. You have to acknowledge your strengths. And to know, even if you have no reason whatsoever to believe that you can handle the next thing. You know, it's like Brie, she doesn't know she can handle first base really yet. Like, but she just wants to do it. And she's going to trust that she can, you know, catch enough balls from dad to finally be able to get there and finally be able to do an awesome job in any role she wants to play on the field. Like, she's given herself that trust. A lot of people won't give themselves the trust. I work with so many Fortune, you know, 50 level executives who are in this place where, because they've had so much success, now they don't trust themselves anymore because now there's more stuff on the line if they screw up, you know? So before, where they trusted themselves to swing for the fences and take the big leaps, which is what made them successful, now they're like, you know, you don't understand. I got kids and a house. They don't trust themselves to make the call anymore, to take the bet anymore, to swing at that new idea anymore because there's too much on the line. And I think we have to do daily things and literally have a evaluative tool. I would urge everybody listening, you know, let's make these four arrows I'm going to give you something that you journal about every Sunday. You look back at the end of the week, you know, you look at the prior week and you say, okay, this week, what are the pieces of evidence that show that I trusted myself, I believed in myself, even maybe I didn't have a right to, what did I do that maybe, you know, I didn't have any, I know no one told me I could, I just trusted in myself. What did I do? I want to be able to see it. I want you to be able to write it down. I want you to set up moments in your day that say, you know what, I'm going to do something a little uncomfortable. I'm going to trust that I can do it. I'm going to trust I can pick up this call and call this person. I'm going to trust that I should shoot the video if I don't know how to shoot the video. I'm going to trust that I can bring my team together and tell them what I really want. I'm going to trust that I can make it through this difficult conversation with my spouse. I'm just going to trust that I can do that. Self-trust is the hallmark of so much of what we actually understand of a person with confidence. That belief, again, that you are willing, worthy, and capable comes from trusting in self. Is that too much to go on, or is that okay?
Oh, no, okay. This is gold right now. I'm sitting here taking notes. So I hope everybody listening right now, if you don't have a pad in front of you, hit pause and go get a pen or pull over the side of the road and listen. This is fantastic.
All right. The second set of habits and things we're going to evaluate ourselves on this next Sunday is the development of situational skill set. That just means whatever you're trying to succeed at, you got your dream or you got your career, you got your business, there are specific skills that you have to master to get to the next level of that. And this is where everyone fights it, dude, because they say, well, that's not my strength, or I'm not good at that. But this is where the next level happens for people. Like, I, you know, we wouldn't be here if I didn't realize, or I shouldn't say we wouldn't be here, I wouldn't be on the phone with you right now if I didn't realize at some point, very early in my career, I thought, you know what? I'm going to have to learn how to talk, like speak, like extemporaneously speak, like trust myself enough to speak. Because, I was terrified of public speaking. And now I can do whatever I want on a stage with thousands and thousands of people, but I was terrified to do it. But I said, public speaking is a skill. If I'm going to lead to the next level, I need to develop that skill. I also said, well, for the next level of my career, I'm going to have to do video. I'm going to have to do online marketing. I didn't know how to do those things, but those were skills I saw. If I could develop those skills, I'd be better in my career. And so whatever you guys do, as you're listening to this, I want you to become a weapon in your industry. Figure out the top five skills that make the best in your industry and start working towards developing those skills to be a weapon. If you gather, like, skills are weapons on the battlefield of corporate America. Skills are weapons in the battlefields of daily life. If you got the top key skills necessary to crush it in an industry, no one can catch you because they won't do the work to develop the skill. Like, everything we know about expertise development, about expert performance, high performance, about the world, about the world's best, I mean, top level Olympians, athletes, celebrities, they're putting in so many friggin' hours to practice and hone their craft. Like, I know Dean. Dean's done a bajillion videos. That's why he's so good on TV. He didn't come out of the womb going like, hey! You know? He's like, you guys don't even know how hard Dean works. Like, it's because he's put in those hours that he's just killing it. And I want you to think, okay, what do I need to start working towards? So this next Sunday, look back and go, okay, what did I do? What specific skills did I start developing or deepening this week? I'd say the third thing that will take you to that next level of confidence, and the third thing that really measures so much of our confidence, is social experience. And that is, look, I don't care if you've got all the self-trust in the world and you've developed the ability to, you know, you've read all the books and you've done all the role playing in how to speak to people, but now go to a networking luncheon. Get in there and actually start talking and being in the social environment where you have to succeed. Because a lot of people, you know, if I know a lot of people who have, I would call it sort of a false confidence, but then you get them around people and it's not because they're extroverted or introverted, because a lot of that psychology is actually an excuse that, look, it doesn't matter. Dean's been introverted, but because he had a mission that was beyond himself, he developed the ability to go beyond his weaknesses. And that's where his strengths came from. He had a mission, and the mission required these specific things for him to get good at it. So he got good at those specific things, but he put them into play. And I think that Dean's, you know, sort of hidden thing, maybe you guys never see, is how insanely good he is with people. Because he got around his students, he keeps himself around other people, he talks with his friends, he interacts with his kids. Every successful person I know, and I've been blessed to sit down for hours and hours and hours with two US presidents, hours, practically one-on-one. And I can tell you, they're supremely good with people. And I asked, how did you get so good with people? They all said the same thing. Dude, I've shook a million babies' hands. It's like you talk with enough people, you get out there and mix and mingle enough, guess what? Your confidence goes up. You know when it's really hard to have confidence? When you're in your house by yourself 24/7. If you haven't mingled and talked with people and celebrated with people and been out to picnics and barbecues and corporate conference meetings and the boardroom, no wonder you're not confident in self, because you never put yourself in action in social situations. People who are socially comfortable have more confidence, but they weren't born that way. Everything we know from the real sciences.
I don't even want to, you're on this.
No, please go ahead, buddy. I want to hear it because it's so huge.
But so many people say that to me, you know, I mean, I've been blessed to speak in front of 15,000 people in China and all over the world, right? And if you asked any of my, and again, everybody listening, I know Brendan and I try, I don't talk about myself to brag. I talk about myself so I can hopefully, you know, I can relate. But if you asked any of my teachers all through school, I would guarantee they'd say I was the shyest kid and probably least likely to succeed. I was in special reading. Mrs. Thompson used to tell me I was stupid every other day in seventh grade. And Mrs. Thompson robbed my confidence because, you know, we're taught to work on our weaknesses. And I don't want to digress here too much. We're taught to work on our weaknesses. And I was always trying to get better at reading and I just couldn't comprehend. I had dyslexia. So it just ripped my confidence. So there wasn't even a thought I was going to college. I barely, 11th, 12th grade, I was out of school by 10:30. I think I took ceramics, gym, and math, and I was out of work, right? So I never went past high school, but I realized, like, you're so right. I was so afraid of people because I thought I was stupid. I thought I was dumb. So I didn't want to talk a lot. I didn't want to open my mouth. I didn't want to say anything because I thought I was going to embarrass myself. But I was lucky enough to have that snap. I wasn't smart enough to listen to Brendan Burchard or listen to an audio like this or get some tools to change my life, which you're sharing right now. The number three, social experience. I had to immerse myself. You know, when I was 19 years old or 18 years old, I was so damn scared of people and so afraid. You know what I did? I joined an acting class in New York City and drove to New York an hour and a half twice a week.
Wow.
And had to do monologues in front of a whole class. Had to stand up and just present. And I'm just going to say what it is. I felt like shit in my pants. I can remember being out in the hall and my teacher would say, have a moment before, right? You can't walk through the door and start being an actor. What happened before you walked through the door, right?
Did you get
in a fight with your wife in the other room? Was it cold outside? Was it hot outside? Are you thirsty? Are you hungry? So you had this moment before. And I remember thinking a moment before and my hand was on the doorknob and literally shaking, shaking. But I had to force myself with social experience. And I still feel like I'm an introvert, but I have a passion, just like you, to have a great business, to make money, to help other people. But mostly, I want to show people that they can live life on a whole higher level. And the only way I was going to do that is to get past the shit of feeling scared.
Yeah.
And when I did, when I put my desire first, I wanted to have the social experience that I needed to get in order to stand up on stage and stand in front of a camera, turn a camera on live. You know, when I'm on live camera, it's the greatest time. I enjoy it the most. So anyway, you're just going through these and I'm writing notes for myself and I hope everybody else is too, but get out there. This social experience, none of us are born that we want to go up on stage. And here's the thing. There are a few people that just love being in front of the camera, love being on stage, and they were born that way. And a lot of times, they're the people I dislike watching the most. It's too structured. It's too organized. They're not real. And I don't mean that disrespectfully if that's what you do for a living. But when you are authentically coming from the person you are, right, and you have self-trust and you could be that weapon in your industry, like Brendan's saying, then get the social experience. If that's what you need, shit, once you get past that, it's easy as hell talking from somebody who was so scared about people that I would hide and skip school if they wanted me to talk in front of anybody.
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's like people really, like I said it earlier, people hope that confidence, you know, is suddenly delivered to their door. And it doesn't happen that way. It's the same way. You don't walk out the door of your house one day and luckily the piano of purpose falls on your head and you know exactly what to do with your life. It doesn't happen that way for anybody. What you got to do is get out in life and start mucking it up and seeing what you like, what you don't like, where you find your passions, where you don't. You got to get out there and explore to find yourself. Yes, we got to be internal and we have to explore our mindset and we have to go within. Everyone knows that's what I'm about and I'll talk about that in a moment. But you got to put yourself back in play outside. So next Sunday, what I want you to do is evaluate yourself. What social situation did I put myself in and how'd I do there? And did I remember that confidence isn't something I have? It's something I generate. I say it all the time. The power plant does not have energy. It doesn't exist. The power plant doesn't have it. It transforms the energy around it, and then it generates it. That's our job. If you want confidence, you generate it. You pull it from within. You summon it up. You pull it. You make it happen. You put it into play. And the more that you do that over and over and over again, the more you gain a skill at that. The more it becomes easier for you in lots of different contexts. No one's ever going to be completely comfortable in every context, and they shouldn't be, because otherwise you wouldn't learn. Like that discomfort is a good thing. Or like Bruce Springsteen always says, he says, you know, they say, Bruce, when are you going to retire? He says, well, you know, backstage, I always get these butterflies and I feel like I'm going to throw up before every performance. If that ever stops, then I should retire.
Wow. I like, never heard that.
That's how you know. You should, I've gone every, still, I mean, I'm on 9 major stages a year where there's at least $1 million on the line based on my performance. Yeah. 9 a year. There's $1 million on that stage for me. I got to do good. 9 a year. Wow. I'm always nervous, dude, because I have high expectations for myself. I want to serve. I want to do great. But I get out of my way and I pull through every time because I know it's going to make me better. But also because this last piece, this is the one. This is the magic. This is the one I hope you guys have been waiting for. It's why I put it last, because I like the crescendos and stuff, you know. But it's big. We said self-trust is one. 2, situational skill set. 3, social experience. Number 4, what's going to make you the most confident in life would be something I guarantee no one on this line would probably think of. And here it is. Spiritual generosity. When you can be generous with yourself and with other people, when you come from a mindset of service, of giving, of true generosity, generosity of patience, of love, of compassion, of true connection and giving of heart to other people, when you're able to be so generous with others at a spiritual level or a psychological level or emotional level, when you can step outside of your little impish sort of childish needs and you step into the world as a servant, that's where people become extraordinary. That's the space where you develop a Martin Luther King. That's the space where you develop a Mother Teresa. That's the space where you develop a FDR who's leading the country in a wheelchair. That is the space where extraordinary happens, is when now the confidence is no longer about you and it doesn't matter about you. The self-trust is there enough that you can get out of your own way and serve. That is the person who is the most confident. Look, I've been in soup kitchens and hospices most of my life. I volunteer like a nut. I've been a Kiwanian for dozens and dozens of years. I've done so much at YMCAs and was on a board at Junior Achievement and Best Buddies. I've done a lot of service in my life. And let me tell you what, I can tell. I can tell the people who are the best, because on the soup kitchen line, when we're serving, they're not, you know, sort of adjusting their apron and worried about what they look like. The dude's coming through off the street. He's in a tough place. And I see them disappear as they serve this man. Mm-hmm. I see the great leader walk into the conference room. He knows everybody is freaked out. And he gets out of his own way, opens up this huge gate to vulnerability and says, guys, I'm with you. Let's talk about how we're going to get through this together. It's the unbelievable woman who is leading her people. And as she is leading her people, she's not fidgeting about herself. She's not even in her own head. She is out in their hearts. There's a spiritual generosity that transcends our own selfish concern, our own self-identity. And I know you know it, Dean. I know everyone in this who's listening. You've been there when you are serving your kids and you're not even thinking about yourself. You know, you got the flu, you want to die, but you're still like packing the lunch for the kids, you know?
Right, exactly.
That comes across as an extraordinary thing. It comes across as a confidence, as a beautiful character. It's like when you can step out, and no one talks about this. When I hear about people talking about confidence, because either they got stuck in the world of psychology or they got stuck in the world of transformation, and they forgot the most beautiful thing is spiritual generosity. When you can be generous, even think about this whole movement we have, which is beautiful, behind mindfulness. And I've been blessed now. 1 million people have watched my video about how to meditate, the release meditation technique.
I'm one of them. Yeah.
Yeah. 1 million people have learned to meditate from me, which blows my mind, or at least learned to meditate in this way. If you think about the mindfulness sort of movement, so much of that is learning to slow down and get generous in the moment. Generous with your time, your attention, your focus, your feeling, your connection, your senses to this very moment. And I think people who are being present are really just being extraordinarily attentive and generous in the moment. And because they can find that level of presence or mindfulness about them, in that moment, they look really confident because they're not worried about tomorrow. They're not worried about yesterday.
They're not worried what anybody thinks.
They're not worried what anyone thinks. They're actually fully engaged with the moment. And that is what confidence looks like. The guy or the gal, the child, the old person, the young person, doesn't matter your background, your nationality. If you can fully connect to the moment, fully engage in the moment, you look more confident. You look more secure. You look more at peace. You look like you belong. That's what confidence externally looks like, but it's coming from a place of spiritual development that said, you know what? I want to connect in my life. I want to connect to this moment. I want to connect my heart. I want to connect to the people around me. That's what I call spiritual generosity. The ability to stop freaking out about yourself and be generous with yourself, with the moment, with other people. And those are the people you look up to and say, wow, she's amazing.
You know what's so funny? It's amazing, and especially because I'm a dad right now. I have a 6 and 8 year old. We talked about it, and it's just such a focus. It's this incredible time in history where they're absolutely in love with you. They're sponges, and I talk to every parent. You know, if you're listening, that 6 to 10 year old magic time, and I'm trying to fill as much wisdom without being the preaching dad, right?
And, I've seen you with those kids, and it's something, and I know everyone who does have kids on this and on this line listening, when you see a parent who's just really present and there and fully engaged with their child, that parent looks totally at peace in some way, at comfort. They do look confident in that situation. And my whole job is saying, everybody here, whether you got kids or you don't, whatever is in front of you, fully engage with it, and you will appear, and I guarantee you will feel more confident.
Yeah. You know what you're saying is, and again, trying to share that with a child, right? But I share it, and so do you. I share it with adults every single day of my life. That's what we do, right? Is to sometimes it's going backwards and seeing how simple it can be. There's two things I always tell my kids is I watch when my kids, especially my daughter, she's getting a little older, is when her confidence is hit, it's always because she was worried about what someone else said in her class. Now,
that's right.
Dealing with 8 year olds. This is easy. But when her little friend Riley thinks something wrong, my daughter will come to me and go, Dad, and I could see her face, her shoulders are down, eyes are down. She's like, Dad, and she'll tell me about something Riley said. And I'll just say, Hun, can you control what Riley says? And should her thoughts affect you? And as an 8 year old, she gets it. But I can say that to my dad, who's 79, and he looks at me and thinks I'm talking Spanish. Right? But my daughter will go, yeah, that kind of makes sense. She has that opinion, but okay. And then she'll go off playing with a big smile. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's so easy as adults, because we get trapped in our own characters. Or, you know, remember, confidence is, we said it's only two things in terms of psychological aspect. It's a belief and a feeling. And yeah, that belief and feeling comes from our behaviors throughout life. And it's very easy for people to go, well, I just don't believe I'm confident, or I just don't believe that, because they've never ran that thought pattern in their head. And if they ever focus on any beliefs or thoughts, it's the one, you know, the ones that you call, you know, the villain, you know.
Yeah.
They're focused on the negative stuff about themselves, and they've never let a few positive things in. And again, but they are still sort of self-obsessive a little bit. They're so much into self and worry about self and concerned about self that they can't see the moment or the need of those in front of them. And I mean, I remember watching a documentary and seeing Mother Teresa walk into this very, very kind of violent, sort of terrible sort of situation where there was, I believe there was a riot, and there are people literally on the street and they're hurt. And many of them are dying from hunger, from the wounds of the riot. And she strolls in with extraordinary grace, which, I mean, in some ways you could easily define as confidence. You're like, whoa, here comes this woman. Yep. In this scary situation, but she is dignified. She is at peace. She is bringing a different quality of energy into that difficult space. And some people call that, you know, sainthood. We could call it confidence. We could call it presence. We could call it spiritual generosity. We could call it compassion. It's the same thing. I've been blessed to be with the Dalai Lama now twice.
I know you have.
Oh, man. And both of them just extraordinary moments of my life, especially the second time, because it was so intimate of a small setting, and just it was just like, man, I could barely even talk. It was so amazing. And he finds a way to bring his presence and his joy and his heart into situations that don't appear, I mean, no one would say it was easy to do that, but he chose to do that. And I think that's where I really wanted to end this with, at least my part of this is, yeah. is we get to choose to generate confidence, just like we get to choose to generate joy or love. Look, there's a lot of reasons that everybody on this line listening that you shouldn't love your spouse, your partner, the people around you. You know, they've cheated you, they've stolen from you, they've been mean to you, they've done bad things, but you still love anyway because you're choosing to keep your heart open and to love. I hope that you'll do that. Well, the same thing with confidence. Doesn't matter what the world has told you or why what you've been through, your confidence doesn't have to be attached to that anymore. Just like you could bring joy to this next moment with your kids just because you decide to, you can choose to bring confidence to the next boardroom just because you decided to do it. So make the decision to step into the identity of a confident person. And if that feels too weird or wonky for you, then just realize all we're really saying is be more generous in the moment with yourself, with your senses, with other people. And that joy, that compassion, that love, that motivation, almost everything we want will come back to life when we get our spiritual generosity amped up again. And I think that will be the magic in the day you say, oh my gosh, things shifted for me because of this generosity thing. Thanks, Dean. Thanks, Brendan. And you'll sense it. You'll talk about it. You'll tell people about Dean's course. It will be a very different time in your life. And I know we've all been there at points in our lives or moments in our lives or relationships in our lives. My challenge to you this next Sunday is to ask, did you apply it more often this week? Were you more generous this week than you usually were? And if you say yes, watch how you feel about yourself. You'll feel an incredible connection with yourself. You'll feel an incredible gratitude. You'll feel so willing and ready for this next week. You'll feel worthy, like you're putting your time in good on this earth. You'll feel capable for this next week. And you have that thing we call confidence.
Yeah. You know, I just want to take a second here. I before when I was trying to interrupt you, but then I heard Dalai Lama and I shut my mouth. I just want to acknowledge you, Brendan. When you serve and how you care about people, you go full out and you didn't disappoint at all today, which I had no doubts, and I appreciate you. But you know, for those four habits, and I just want to reiterate them to everybody listening. This isn't from a guy who just speaks a good game, and everybody, most people know you, Brendan, but those that you don't, that don't know you, this comes from years of obsessive research, reading a book a week, practicing, going through it in your own life, interviewing, talking. I mean, I've never seen anybody dig so deep. And for you to lay it out with self-trust and situational skill set and social experience and then spiritual generosity, guys, those four things alone, if you just took the next month of your life and made that a focus, you know, if confidence isn't important to you, then maybe your goals aren't important to you. Because the reason I've spent so much time on confidence, especially in the last year of my life, digging into it, is I think it's the keystone, it's the cornerstone to where you want to go. If you're still listening to us right now, that means there is a place you want to go different than where you are. Maybe most of your life is great, but that one area that I was saying before, the smiles on the outside, but it's sad on the inside. To get rid of that, maybe it's the foundation of confidence that can drive you there. And look at the byproducts. So to be confident, you have to have self-trust. That works in everything. You want to be a good parent, you want to have self-trust. Situation skill, social experience, spiritual generosity, all those things just make us better people. And if the byproduct of that is confidence, so you can take that job that you want or start that new company you want or go after the girl or the guy you want or take your relationship to a level of intimacy and passion that you've been waiting for your whole life, or you just want to be that parent you desire or in the best shape of your life and have the confidence to walk in the gym and say, yeah, I'm fat, I'm overweight, but I'm wait and see me in a few months. I mean, I don't know where you are, but I know you want to go someplace. And hitching your cart to having more confidence is the fastest, quickest way I know how to get there. And Brendan, again, I just want to say thank you for being the man you are, the people you serve. We've become good friends, but it's beyond that. You know, I sit here and listen to you and I know where your heart is. You know, sometimes I've said this before, you know, you don't want to meet your heroes because once you look behind the curtain, there's not much there. And I know behind the curtain, there's so much more of you that people don't even get to see. So I thank you for that, Brendan.
Thank you, brother. Same thing. And I'm the same way. I mean, we've done a lot of good work in the world already, and it's like instant brotherhood because I think we both struggled so much to get our lives under control and struggled so much for no, we could have just succeeded what we want to do. Then what I admire about you is that you've always said, okay, I struggled through this. Now, how do I help people not struggle through it as much. You know, it's like we both kind of turned our attention from our own, you know, struggles and successes, and now stepped in that more generous spot as much as we can to say, hey guys, here's how I can help you. Here's what I've learned. And, you know, it just, that intention, I think, is why we become brothers so much and so fast. And, you know, I admire you as not only just, you know, an amazing success in the business world, but as a man that's just got his stuff together, who's so fun to hang out with and can be so amazing with his children and his relationships, the people around him, the people he leads who all look up to him. Like, when you meet people like that, it makes you want to do this kind of work. And I hope those who are listening who want to do this kind of work, just go through this program a bunch of times and grab all the kernels that you can, put them into your own life, but then also do the same thing. Go teach your kids some of this.
Yep.
You know, go teach your teams some of this. Like, just start this conversation, because I was, the last point, if I can, is like, when you're talking about something on a consistent basis, you get better at it. It makes you think about it from 9 different angles. And now you really find your own self sort of perspective towards these things. And everyone talks about confidence in different ways. This is my way. Yep. Dean's got his way. Tony Robbins got his way. Ariana Huffington's her. Marie Forleo. Everyone's got their different way. And that's what's beautiful about this. Find your way. And the only way you're going to find your way is putting a bunch of things into practice. See what's true for you. Share it with people. Beat it up intellectually, emotionally. Beat it up out in the world. Try it around a little bit. And you'll find your sense of self. And it will be an extraordinary, extraordinary life experience for you ahead. So thanks, Dean. I appreciate being here, man. This was awesome. Listen,
I'm going to get 2 quick things in before you go. We're going to do
Not in a hurry. Go ahead.
So the number one hack. So someone's going into a meeting, they want to puke. Someone wants to talk to their spouse. It's been years. They're sick of, you know, maybe your husband is not treating you right and you've just been putting it off and you want to have that conversation. You got to have that hard conversation with your kids, your boss, partner, you know, any situational place that typically would strip their confidence and they want to puke. What do you do right before you walk in? Is there something you can do to give like that boost of confidence? Like, boom, I'm going to do this.
Oh, I love it. You know, number one, I mean, it's so simple, but be very clear on your intention. Like, sometimes it's scary to go in the boardroom if you don't know what you want. You know, it's really scary to make the sales call if you don't know what the outcome is you're after. So just like, I think clarity is such a foundational piece of like immediate confidence. Like, if you want to get immediate confidence, you need to get really, really clear, really, really fast about what is it you desire here. Because once you know what you desire, you'll know, you'll have that willingness. You'll know whether it's likely to happen. It puts you in play. So clarify your intention. What is it you desire, you want, your goal, your outcome? Just be really clear about that. Otherwise, no matter what you do, even if you go in all hyped up and you know you've done 10 jumping jacks and you've screamed your word or made your crazy jumps and jumping, it doesn't matter. You'll still waffle in the situation because you don't have aim. And without aim, you know, we're never going to hit a target. So let's have the aim. And then the second thing is, no matter what you do, I would say get yourself in a great mental and physical space. For me, actually, the fastest way I can get more confidence in life is to do a 20-minute meditation. It clears my mind. It gets rid of all the dumb thoughts. It makes me clean. It makes me be able to go in and be extemporaneous and alive in the moment versus connected to all the dumb worries and the scatterbrained thoughts and noises. It helps me align. So I say the fastest way, usually, to get confident is to slow down. Slow down. Slow down your thoughts a little bit. Slow down your breathing a little bit. Get into your depth, into your core, you know, whether you practice yoga or you do some breathing exercise, but just get centered first before you get hyped up. A lot of people make the mistake of just jumping jacks and doing all these movements, and they're lots of hyped, or they pound the 5-hour energy or the energy drinks, and they hit a cocaine, whatever they do. They get the physical bolt.
It's like driving the Ferrari and having no direction of where you're going. You're just going fast.
That's right. So they've got this energized physical bolt, but they have no spiritual grounding. So they're the ones who are the hot mouth, the hot mess in the meetings. They're the ones who kind of like, they're all over the place, and you're like, oh my God, dude, you know, hit a point. You know, because
I've seen them, I know it well.
Yeah, we've all been there. And so our job is, okay, if you really got to perform, you need confidence. Get really clear, get slow it down so that you can get grounded. So get clear, get grounded, and then get physically energized. Yep. And that physical energy can be from whatever it is for you that does it. I don't relate with the big power jumps and big power moves and stuff. That's really great for me for like for a concert. It's really great in peak performance studies for an athlete to do right before. But before a meeting where I got to be intelligent, I don't want to overdo it because then I'm huffing and puffing. Or what happens is if you get too energized, there's a thing called the adrenaline cortisol switch where you hype up your energy really fast or you make a bunch of big sudden movements. But then when you have to be articulate, you can't almost. And what happens is you're energized maybe for 20 minutes. And then the adrenaline cortisol switch happens at 18 minutes in all the high performance studies. So 18 minutes, what happens is all that adrenaline that energized you dips. But the cortisol that also helped energize you stays up because adrenaline lasts less long in your body than cortisol. So now what happened is you were hyped up, adrenaline starts to fade, cortisol stays up, and now you feel stressed. And that's pretty much the opposite of confidence. So I say if you're going to energize yourself, do a nice set of movements to open up your meridians. I like to do Qigong or cupping. I like to do tapping, things that open up the meridians, open up the energy, but don't get me wigged out with like, you know, type A adrenaline, you know, what a pro athlete might do to step onto the field as a warrior. You can't do if you have to go in and be articulate or you have to be kind to your kid. You know, you don't want to like just get all ferocious and then walk in the door and try to teach your kid math. If you got to be smart, you don't want to do those big, crazy movements that peak performance makes great on the football field, but will wreck you in a sales meeting or a meeting with your kid. You want to get a nice, peaceful, energetic, physical buzz going that keeps you open and energized and optimistic, but don't go ferocious. But if you are an athlete, go ferocious and then go in. And that's just the difference between like high performance and peak performance. High performance is a little bit more about what's our sustained energy level going to be, our sustained biochemistry and our sustained neurobiology. And so we're more interested in that what happens after 20 minutes thing than what's in the first 20 minutes. It's just a very different conversation. So that's why I like get mentally clear, get emotionally or spiritually grounded, get physically energized, and that those three things in that order, it can be done fast. That's the hack that makes me just kill it in any situation I need to go into.
Brandon, and what an amazing, and we went a little bit over an hour. What an amazing hour, dude. I can't say it enough how much I appreciate you. And one last thing, what's the most exciting thing going on in your life right now?
Oh, hands down, the stuff that we're building together. You know, yeah. Easily, as we're building out growth, as we're bringing on, you know, as we'll talk about with this audience later on, we're bringing together a lot of the world's class best leaders to share information like this. And it hasn't really been done before as a major platform. And that work is enlivening me because I feel like in so many ways, in my own brand, in my own career, I've reached levels that I never even imagined, man. I mean, not even close. So I feel so blessed. But now I love developing the next generation of talent, the next generation of people who are going to, you know, do great online courses, write great books, inspire the world. And that level of thinking about that and building towards that and having new partners, new friends, new people to work with in this community, that really, really enlivens me. Because I think, yeah, I can reach, you know, 10 million people through our pages on Facebook. But now when I've got 15, 20 other world-class experts all pooled together with the same mission to serve as many people as we can. Now that goes from 10 million to hundreds of millions to potentially a billion at some point. That's a completely different game. And if I'm running an eight-figure business doing my own work, now when we pool together expertise and brilliance, you know, that's where that next level, that nine-figure level, that major kind of company comes into play where we get to serve a lot more people than I ever could on my own. And that's what I'm out for at this game. It's about what level of depth of great content can we provide that helps people? And it's always been about my brand. Everything is like, what level, can I go another level of depth here with some research, with some neuroscience, positive psychology, high performance studies, the things I learned, the things I interview the best in the world, bring that to them. But now it's also a level of, well, can we reach more people with that kind of good stuff? And you and I figured out a way to do that. And I would say that's the thing that's got me so enlivened, because I know the people who are listening to this right now, I would hope that you, when we did this, I genuinely hope you thought of somebody who maybe needed to hear this.
Yeah.
You know, and that you'll refer them to this, or you say, hey, you know, join Dean's course, or follow that Brendan kid, or whatever resonated with you, or you become the person who goes out and teaches it. You go inspire people. I don't care where, I really don't care where it comes from. I'm not about the messenger, and I've never thought.
The message gets out there, who cares how it gets out there?
That's right. I've never thought I'm the messenger. I'm like one of the messengers. I want millions of people out there sharing good stuff like this, because I think we can totally turn the tide of negativity. Because I think so much of the emotional energy of the world is flatlined as people are, you know, trapped in themselves, or caged in behaviors or lives or routines they don't like, or caged in beliefs about how things must go. And the more role models we can get out there, people who do have the motivation, the confidence, the spiritual generosity, the more they see that as an example, the more we start to say, hey, you know what? This world isn't so bad. Let's get back in the game, man. Let's start shifting our own lives. Let's start inspiring people again. Because I think we're going to have a huge wave. We're going to have an incredible, incredible emotional, spiritual wave of positivity just wash through this universe very soon, because people are tired of the old stuff. But that will only wash through if we've got people who are open to that, who are willing to say, you know what, maybe this is a time for me to change my life so I can inspire others to be that. You know, we're only all copying, you know, Gandhi and saying, be the change, you know. Yeah. And before Gandhi, it was Buddha, you know. Before Buddha, it was 1,000 years of Chinese history. It's like, look, be the change you want to see in the world. If you want more people who are happy, confident, motivated, joyful, and loving, be that every day.
That's you know what? What an amazing way to end an incredible hour and a few minutes, dude. I appreciate your time. I appreciate what you shared. And I think everybody can see the reason why you and I do things together and why we care is because the world needs this. And if we can be a voice, if I'm blessed to be able to go on TV and share a message, and you have tens of millions of people following you on Facebook, when you combine that, how many more people can get this message in their hand and see a better path? I mean, at the end of the day, all we're trying to do is get you to have a little bit different way of thinking. If your thoughts change a tiny bit, it's like shooting a gun. If you move the gun an eighth of an inch at the stand, you know, 200 yards away, it's a completely different shot. If today you just shift your thoughts a fraction, just turn the wheel a little, just turn the gun. If you're sighting in a gun, just turn it a little. You're going to turn around in 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. And the change is just going to be unrecognizable. So thanks a lot, Brendan. This has been awesome, even for me. I have 4.5 pages of notes sitting here talking to you.
That's awesome. Well, it's an honor to be here with you, man. Thank you for having me on, for your people. I hope we inspired them today, and I look forward to seeing you again soon, Dean. Thanks, man.
Hey, it's Dean, and I just wanted to say once again, thanks for having faith in me. If you're going through the Winning State of Mind or my Abundance course right now, or you read my Totally Fulfilled book, I hope you see that I just want to create these recipes to get you from where you are to where you want to go. And right now, I want to see if you want to join the DG Challenge. What is that? You see, I know so many times in life, we get excited, we get a course, we go to a live event, and we get the wisdom, we get the capabilities, and we get excited, but then life kind of reels us back in. It gobbles us up, and we go right back to where we were. And I don't want that to happen to you. So if you'd like the opportunity to work with one of my personally trained success coaches, I want to give you this challenge. I'm not sure if you've been watching me on TV for over 15 years now. I can't believe it, even saying that out loud. Or maybe you just learned about me. I want to let you know I've produced some of the greatest TV shows that have ever been seen. Plus, I'm all over the internet. And if you've watched my success stories, it's people whose lives were just, you know, maybe they were smiling on the outside and sad on the inside, or their backs were against the wall and they needed a change, or they were making a lot of money but sad, or no money and happy, and they wanted a fulfilled life, a next level life. And I got to provide that for them. And I want to do that for you. If you're someone ready to take your life to the next level, if you would love to be on one of my next TV shows showing a transformation of where you are and us helping you, giving you these little shifts and keeping you accountable for the actions and the habits and the beliefs you have, then maybe you would be perfect to work with one of my highly trained success coaches. And the only way you could do that is to take the DG Challenge. If you're ready for that next level of life and you don't want to go back to where you were, you want to stay on fire or go to that next level, then do this. Right now, you can click the link below
and schedule an appointment to talk to one of my consultants. Or if you're ready to talk to someone right now, call the 800 number below, and what we'll do is make sure we get you on the phone right away with a consultant who can see where you are, where you want to go, why you want it, and how we can help guide you to get there. And I'd love for you to accept the DG Challenge and be on one of my next TV shows or be online with me to show the world how with just tiny little shifts, you can make a massive impact on your life and take it to that next level. I'm Dean Graziosi. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to assist you. I'd love for you to be one of these. And we're only working with about 250 people this year. So if you'd like the chance to be one of them, then click the link below, schedule an appointment, or call right now and get you on the phone with one of my consultants. I'm Dean Graziosi. I'll talk to you soon.